This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding an old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The Bills at 1-0. The rest of the AFC East 0-1. At the Jets Sunday, and it's also New England at Miami. I was thinking about something you were saying earlier. And I would love to hear like some feedback on this. You know, is there a game here? Maybe this was easier to say about the Baltimore game, but is there a Bills game here where they could win, but you wouldn't be happy? These are our lives now, right? Like, it's not enough to just win. Against teams like this, or what the Jets have been maybe for the few years here, that it might not be enough for everybody to just win. So you're like, it's all good. Any win is good. Just chalk it up. On to week three. That's it. The style points do matter in our conversations, though. I mean,
for sure.
The standings are the thing. But what I think everybody, especially Bills fans, but with what happened on Sunday night, what the conversation people want to have about them is whether this year will be different in the end. And you can't know that until the end, obviously. But, you know, games like this one could end up being, at the risk of sounding too cocky, they could end up being ones where, like, all right, well, we're not sure yet, you know? And the defense is where that,
yeah, that
is this week.
Definitely is how, I mean, sure. I mean, I'm as thrilled as any, well, I don't know, anyone. Lots of people are probably more excited about it. But, I mean, it was breathtaking, incredible, whatever you want to put on it, to win that game like that. But, you know, I'm mentioning it frequently during the week here. The rookie defensive tackles basically had to be removed. And, you know, now you're going into this game and Ed Oliver's on a scooter with a protective boot on his foot because of some ankle injury, presumably, at some point. And we don't know what happened there. But if he can't go, then welcome to the starting lineup, TJ Sanders, who played 16 snaps, four of which were touchdowns. Now, like, that doesn't mean that was all on him. I didn't go back and, like, go forensics here on like what he did. Maybe he did his job well on some of those plays and it just, you know, went awry anyway. I don't know, but that's a horrible start anyway. And Walker was not much better than that. The two of them together were on the field for a couple of scores. So, you know, that's where you're looking, I think, primarily if you're hopeful about the defense being significantly different and better than it was last year. Sure, Bishop in for Hamlin, it should be an upgrade, but the summer came and went without any affirmation that that was going to be the case. Walker and Sanders took turns sort of flashing during the preseason and the summer. And you'd have reason to, okay, well, that's those, especially Walker, that's a different body type than I've had. And maybe that's going to be the answer I need to shore up this run defense. And maybe everything will build from there. You know, if a team can't get off running it, maybe they'll have a harder time passing it. They'll be forced into passing, etc. I mean, that just did not happen in any way, shape, or form. Baltimore just could do whatever they wanted on the ground, and the passing was just a compliment to it, basically, on Sunday night. So, yeah, the reviews, you know, overall, incredible. They won 1-0. Baltimore, Kansas City, 0-1, number one seed, pole position. Okay, great. Like, I said all that. I mean all that. But, I mean, you get up under the hood and look at what the defense did and how they performed play to play. I mean, outside of Oliver, Bosa had some disruptive moments. I'm excited by that. But overall, I mean, they got trampled. And the new guys, again, Walker didn't play a snap after some point in the third quarter. They had Oliver and Daquan Jones playing close to 70% of the snaps. That's not where they want to be, more like 60-40, I think, with those guys in the middle of that line. So,
but you think they couldn't risk it?
They couldn't. Yeah, I think they felt like they needed to get them out of there. So, the first trial balloon of my reshaped defense, these assets being poured into the defensive line. And again, Bosa is a part of that, and he flashed enough. You know, he got caught a couple times, but he caused that fumble. He made some plays. He was in the backfield. I know Jackson made he and Rousseau maybe look silly, but Jackson can make the best players in the league look silly back there in the open field. The point is, Bosa, to me, flashed enough for me to feel like he may be a disruptor, and that may be really helpful. So they didn't miss on everything they did there. And I'm not saying Sanders and Walker are misses. I'm just saying they were minuses in week one. And so, you know, week to week, if we don't do, you know, grades or anything, but those guys would not get passing grades for this game. And that is primarily a couple of guys you're looking at to give you something you were lacking. That's why you draft Sanders in the second round. That's why you draft Walker. Their third round pick doesn't even dress. Again, another defensive lineman. So what? So that's a bad look, you know? And if that continues, then you got trouble, you know? But that's a part of the point about, you know, as long as I get wins, you know, sure, we'll talk about the warts and whatever the problems are and hope that they'll get better. And they got plenty of runway to get better, provided they keep winning. You know, it didn't cost them ultimately on Sunday. I mean, it was damn close to costing them, but it didn't. And so until it does, you sort of like just kind of, okay, well, they've got time to figure it out. First game, all that. Hopefully they learn, they take instruction, and the hard week that McDermott is referring to produces a better result against a lesser opponent, for sure. They're capable of doing some of, you said earlier, Baltimore light. I think that's, you know, dollar store Baltimore. That's kind of what the Jets represent here. Hall is big, but not as big. He's faster than Henry, but that's a different kind of challenge. And Justin Fields is bigger than Jackson, I think, you know, physically, but not as gifted a runner. But he's, you know, he's in the top tier of running quarterbacks in the league. He's very good at it. So you've got sort of a unique situation here where you have a chance to demonstrate that, yeah, the improvements are going to take root and we're going to be better. And it's, you know, right away, quick, you know, turnaround from week one to week two. It's a similar enough opponent that you would expect to try to test you in a lot of the same ways that Baltimore did. And, you know, what kind of result am I going to get on the test? We'll see. But again, week one was very tough.
Yeah, this will be a very interesting game to talk about on the heels of Sunday night, because mostly, I'll use the same word I've been using this week, like the afterglow of that win last year, the stadium, prime time, Josh and Lamar, you know, all of that put together, it's just a wonderful game to remember and talk about and just, wow. If Sunday is a struggle, it'll be like, do you guys remember the first 50 minutes of the game Sunday night? Like, it just, they stole it and it erases. I had a conversation with a friend who's like, what a great game. One of the best games I've ever seen. And it is in the end. But most of the night, it was just like the Ravens were on a higher level than the Bills. The Bills did things offensively to mostly keep up. But it looked like one team was much the better team of the two. And again, like it goes both ways. We don't get to know until January what is going to happen in January. But everything is like some indicator. And I don't know if Sunday, if I would say that game, that opener, puts me in a better place about their chances, except for one reason, the standings. Because Baltimore lost and Kansas City lost, and the lead is theirs already. Like, in that way, yes. But if not for just like
and, incredible. And Allen's performance, of course, yeah. But
Allen's performance, but we already came to expect that from him. I mean, it was bigger volume out of necessity, mostly. I mean, 394 yards, right? But nobody had any doubts about whether
that
Allen,
he could do that, right?
You know, right. And he's done that even in the playoffs.
Yeah, the question is, even going back to last hour, is how often do you want to have to call on him to do all of that? Right? I mean, it's a long year, and you know, you wouldn't expect him to have to play like Joe Burrow played last year every week. Like you know, the Bengals did not get to the playoffs last year because their defense was so bad. Despite Joe Burrow, you know, he doesn't leap over tall buildings in a single bound like Allen can, but he put on a cape last year and had an incredible season, and it didn't mean anything. You don't want to end up there. I mean, and I'm not suggesting the Bills are headed there, but I mean, that game Sunday was. If you're looking for signs that they shored up their defense, the safeties were bad. The new tackles were bad. The linebackers, frankly, that's supposed to be one of the stable parts of this team. They had a tough night. You know, Oliver flashed. I think Bosa flashed. Russo did some things. But overall, they got bad play out of guys that they're just going to need a lot. But the linebackers especially. You know, I know you need the guys up front to do their job and all that, but I mentioned this yesterday. I watched a great breakdown from Joe Marino numerous times. Bernard just does not take the right route. He just allows himself to be sealed off. And, you know, some of that was specifically on one play, the quick snap that Baltimore was using. There's a play where Bernard is still, his head is turned. He's talking to people and gesturing around, and he looks back and the ball snapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you weren't ready. They caught you there. So hopefully that, you know, goes away with time and repetition here. But it was tough. There's plenty. Yeah, I didn't want to go too hard at it on Monday or Tuesday or even yesterday because of what you said, the afterglow of the win, like you bunch of ghouls, what are you doing in there? You know, the Bills won the game of the year, maybe. You know, we'll see what happens the rest of the season, but it's certainly going to be up there for the game of the year. I don't think anyone that watched it or was there is going to forget this game anytime soon. But within it, again, if you're like most crucial offseason objective was to shore up your defense so that Josh Allen doesn't have to do what he did in the fourth quarter. I don't know anything else to do but give you an F for Sunday. I mean, it just did not happen at all.
They really haven't had a season yet where the Burrow mention is really good. Like, they have not had to do that yet. They have not had to be – it's at the middle of the whole, if you will, controversy about their receivers. Is, you know, the Bills are basically like, it's good enough, guys, right? I mean, we've won. Maybe you didn't notice that we set a franchise scoring record. Like, it's good enough. And I think on the other side of it, a lot of us are going, well, one of these days it might not be. And how would that happen? Because if they can't stop anybody, then are you going to – and they did on Sunday. I mean, they even got – just forgetting about why it happened or the defense part, but they had five guys with at least 4 for 48. Kincaid was 4 for 48, and he came in fifth, you know, among their receivers. So if they need it, will they get it? And, you know, a lot of these games last year, we didn't get that answer. Kansas City, you know, the playoffs happened, and that was the most important game, and they didn't get it when they needed it there from Cooper or the Kincaid play at the end. So, like, that the Bengals year from last season, the Bills have just not been pushed like that, you know? And maybe if it is close to the worst-case scenario on defense, they still might be fine if, like, the division is so bad.
Yeah.
It's not the one seed, though. But you could win the AFC East with a team that ranks bottom third in defense.
I brought up the Bengals just so it doesn't turn into like any kind of a runaway train. I mean, the Bills still have enough, I think, good players on defense, even if the defensive tackles don't smash. I mean, they played Baltimore. It's a very tough matchup. That's an elite team all around, especially on offense. The skill sets are pretty unique with Henry and Jackson. You know, Rousseau, Bosa, Oliver, they've got guys. Like, I don't think Milano and Bernard are going to be terrible all year. But I don't think they had a very good night on Sunday night. And, you know, a lot of that could just be the matchup and everything else that was going on around them. I would expect it to stabilize, but that brings you right back to this Sunday. You know, can you handle a team that, sure, they may philosophically want to bully you like the Ravens did, and they have similar enough personnel. The running back might, you know, is their maybe their second best offensive player after their number one receiver in Wilson, who's better than anyone Baltimore really has at receiver. And then, you know, the quarterback is, you know, a couple steps down, more than that, from Jackson. But athletically, he's similar enough that if you can show that you can handle that, more than handle it, I mean, just, you know, shut it down. Like, hold the Jets to 80 yards rushing or something in this game, which, I don't, you know, maybe that's too heavy a lift. I don't know. But if you can do it, then everything that I've just said here in the preceding 15 minutes is sort of like, okay, well, we can put some gauze on that at least for now. I don't know that the wound is sealed, but we're not bleeding. You know, they got on the field and they stabilized, and, you know, some guys showed up and had much better week twos than they did week one.
Let's go to Dennis here. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. you know, I got to guard myself against criticizing, you know, too much here. I mean, they just scored 41 points in a great, great win. Sometimes I feel like, you know, Allen, I think to most people's eyes, would agree, if he's not the best player in the NFL, he's top three, right, in most people's eyes. And sometimes I feel like the Bills don't know how to have the superstar quarterback. It seems like their game plan is, in my eyes, correct. It doesn't have to be in my eyes, I guess, but where they lean into him. And then there's other times where it just seems like they try to lean into everyone else, and everyone else is not nearly on the level as Josh Allen. So, like, for the example, you know, a couple of those drives that they had where they stalled out, you know, three runs in a row to James Cook. I mean, I don't mind giving the ball to James Cook. That's not my point. But the point is the calls that we made and the times that they made, three in a row, and it's a punt. You don't even let Josh have a drive. Then the next drive is three screen passes out to either tight ends or wide receivers, which are really just running plays. There's one option. It's just Josh throwing to the one guy the play is designed for. So you're not even letting him be the MVP. You're leaning on other guys. And then when you have to lean on him at the end, then he does the Superman stuff. And I think that they need to be able to understand who they have there and lean into him earlier, and then they don't have to get into some of these positions.
Well, I understand. I mean, I
think all of that's fair. The only caveat that I think, and this is hard for us to know out here without going through, I'm not capable quickly enough here for the context of this conversation to, like, go call up the All-22 and look at those three run plays. But did Allen switch into any of that, right? He is given that autonomy to do that. So that is going to be a part of this conversation. And it's a vague part of it, because we don't always know when we're sitting here. We're not looking at the plays to know, like, what did they call there? Did he switch to something because of what he saw? You know, this is not to absolve all the conservative play calling. It's just that the knee jerk is always to, it's Joe Brady, and what kind of play call was that? And it doesn't always take into account whether or not Allen saw something that caused him to change the play at the line of scrimmage. Like, he should have that ability to do that. And again, I'm not positive that that's happening in any of those situations. It's just that it could be. So I want to just pump the brakes a little bit on that without really knowing what's going on there for sure.
Yeah, again, I think I've already said it. It's what we've been talking about here for a bit. It's ironic that the game, for as amazing as it was in the end, and as much of a highlight show that Allen and the offense put on, it doesn't make me feel better about, like, what they are overall. Because this receiver thing that we've argued about for years may end up being tested. That's what could happen. You know, we're saying the same thing a few different ways. If their defense isn't, you know, at least average. And that's, we're just getting started here. Yes, Baltimore, but I mean, what did it really look like? So
not even average.
Yeah, and I think the Jets, as I've said also, the Jets' performance in week one is, you know, it's maybe not a team anymore that if they had a good day offensively against you, you'd get really scared. I mean, we don't want to see it, but maybe they're actually pretty capable. There's a clip on Twitter today from the Lebatard show. Two different guys were talking about Dan Marino and Shula. And if the show hasn't sounded older than right now, I don't know. But
these are former Miami Dolphin quarterback and coach, by the way.
One, you kids out there. Yes. One commentator was saying that Shula failed Marino in his prime years by drafting defense. You know, the things, these are kind of familiar, sort of the team building stuff that we've sometimes argued about with the Bills. And where was sort of a further commitment to him? Better weapons, you know, not running the ball as often. I mean, it was a very different time. Would have been more kind of insane if the Dolphins sort of leaned farther into Dan Marino, but they really didn't. And the other guy in the conversation said that he talked to Shula late in Shula's life, and that Shula said that was one of his regrets, is that they didn't do more for Marino. Hmm. So, you know, we don't want to end up there, but
no.
So far that's kind of what we've got. I mean, we've got a quarterback that's basically unstoppable, and, you know, the Bills have obviously come very close. And here I say it again, we won't know these answers for a long time. You know, whatever the Jet game looks like, you know, they just, right, like you keep saying, the point is to win. And hopefully they get those advantages come January if they win often enough. Thanks, Dennis. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. What do you think? Let us know. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caller 5, go get it. 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins two tickets to see Adam Sandler at KeyBank Center next Sunday, September 21st, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. You a fan?
Sandler?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I've enjoyed plenty of his work. Yeah, even going back to just sitting at the desk at Weekend Update singing about Thanksgiving. Yeah, I think he's fun. He's a funny dude.
Opera man.
Yeah, he's good.
Next Sunday.
I don't. We'll see you there. I don't chase down the movies or anything, but yeah, the movie where he's not funny at all, Uncut Gems.
I never saw it.
Tremendous.
Okay.
Very uncomfortable. Like, if you don't like watching things that make you, like, oh, God, I wish you could stop. Just go, why? Go, no, don't. Ah. But it worked. I mean, it was really, really well done.
It's like watching the Dolphins.
Right.
It's very, very uncomfortable here right now. New England at Miami, Sunday at 1. The Dolphins are a small favorite. 803-0550 for us. Here is Phil next. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you talked about it. As soon as the game was over, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And then the next day, I'm still on this high. And even Tuesday, I'm still on this high. And I feel like, well, the players, you know, for them to have such an emotional win and then to get ready, you know, and go on the road against the Jets, it just feels like such a trap game for us. And I don't know, I started feeling uneasy about that after I came down from my high. And I'm like, how do these guys get back up for this game to the level that they need to be mentally against a division opponent like the Jets away? The Jets looked a lot different than they have in the past. They look better. I think they're better coached. It just feels like a trap game to me. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, I mentioned this to Sal, I think, on Monday, even if that wasn't too soon, but I don't feel like it was yesterday that I brought it up. Like, you know, how big of a job is it for guys to sort of get? Because, I mean, I have felt much the same way. I haven't approached really feeling uneasy or nervous about this game at this point, this game coming up against the Jets myself. But, yeah, I think the players would have been on quite a ride emotionally to experience what they experienced Sunday night. But, you know, they're NFL players. And I mostly feel like the trap game thing is, you see, it happened. And if it doesn't, then nobody really mentions, oh, I thought it was going to be a trap game. It could happen. They could be vulnerable to what the Jets want to do. They could be as ready for this game as they were for the Baltimore game, assuming they were really ready for it. I mean, they got trampled for most of it. So I don't know how even, you know, not, you know, how not prepared they might have been for Sunday, even. The opener, I mean. So I don't know. It's one of those things that I feel sort of clicks into place whenever it fits. And it could end up fitting. I mean, I don't know. And it could even be a thing. I don't know. McDermott seemed to want to make a point about going hard on Wednesday to get their attention. That's not nothing to me that he wanted to be full pads. Let's go. Just to try to drive home the point that Sunday night wasn't good enough despite the win. So I think it even seems like McDermott is on guard about it. To some extent that, you know, Sunday, but it's more that Sunday wasn't good enough, not that he's worried they're going to be sleeping for this game Sunday. But So that's most of what I have to say about
it. I agree with all of it. The term usually is used to refer to a game where the following week is somebody, like maybe you had Philadelphia next week or the Chiefs,
right,
and the game in between. But it's been disproven as a thing in that particular way that, you know, you're going to win if you're an 8-point favorite. So a fan is going, yeah, they're not going to be serious. You're going to win, you know, as often as an 8-point favorite as you would if the game were dropped anywhere else on the schedule, you know, over the long haul. But it's all reasonable to think that they might, you know, just need some extra focus or something like that. I think maybe it's more, not really McDermott, but I'd be worried more for just sort of how they looked than how they recover. And that's kind of what you said too. Just, I'd want to get to work with these guys right away after that game because it was pretty awful defensively, you know, mm-hmm. assignments and that. It wasn't always that they were just out of position, and that might be an easier problem to fix, assignments.
Yeah.
If they're just manhandled, then that's not going to be easy to fix. You know, that's not something – that's a bad sign.
And I do feel like a lot of what I have watched, you know, breakdowns and even referenced here is – Not the two rookie defensive tackles that I've cited, I'm not sure about, like, whether that was assignment or physical, right? But Milano and Bernard, I think, was largely assignment, right? They put themselves in a position to be vulnerable to being outmatched. Instead, you know, bad approach lane. Like, Taylor Rapp, on a running play, taking two steps backward before he commits to coming up and trying to tackle Derrick Henry. I mean, I know trying to tackle Derrick Henry is a tall order, but that's the job, dude. And he, you know, ran away from it before trying to come up, and then is late and then out of position. And that's assignment, right? Getting caught by a snap count is to some extent assignment. Like, but Bishop is so young, he's got so few reps. He blitzes from 15 yards deep because he's supposed to, I think, as the play clock is winding down, creep up, and then come and hopefully surprise the quarterback. And instead, the quarterback and the offense surprised him. They snapped it, and he thought, I guess I'm supposed to blitz, so I'm going to go. I think you want to go to school on or something like that. That is assignment. That is, you know, if you get caught like that, here's a better thing to do rather than just waste your time chasing. By the time you get there, the ball's very likely to be gone, and you've just taken yourself completely out of the play. So try to make yourself useful some other way, that kind of stuff. That's assignment. That's the whiteboard and video and just being ready for that should it happen again. So that's all, to me, correctable. You know, getting just, you know, flat out getting your butt kicked, you know, yep, that's tougher to overcome.
Yeah, it's a big game for this, you know, to see if the Bills look like they've looked almost the whole McDermott, you know, era defensively and not what they looked like mostly Sunday. Let's go to Nico next. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate the airtime.
Sure.
I was just curious. I think, like, the problem with the Bills, and it's been this way for a couple years, is that, like, our philosophy towards football games is the old school, like, clock management. Like, we want to be, you know, we want to run the ball. We want to, you know, approach these games with a defensive-minded approach instead of having, you know, an offensive-minded approach, which I think is our entire team is Josh Allen. And it's like we don't really let him go until we have to. And when we do, it's phenomenal. But I'm always, like, during these games, I'm always thinking to myself, like, why are we trying to play this way? What is the reason that we're not just scoring until we can't score anymore and just seeing if teams can catch up? Because I feel like if we did that, we would see more of the last, you know, the fourth quarter of last game, mm-hmm, instead of the first three quarters. I just really wish I would see the full potential of Josh and someone that kind of lets him do his thing at all times instead of just, you know, being that blue-collar head coach that just, you know, we got to do this. And I think Josh masks a lot of McDermott's the issues that he has because Josh is so good. But I do think that there's so much left to be desired on this offense, and I don't think we'll see it with McDermott there, because I don't think he'll do anything to ever get fired. I think he's a fine head coach. But I just wish we had, like, one of those young offensive-minded head coaches to just take the governor off, see what happens.
I certainly see why you want to say that, and I made the same point here about Sunday's game plenty of times this week, that they've sort of forced at gunpoint to open it up and throw the ball down the field and then look at the results. But just looking at last year's final scores is not going to completely counter the point you're making, but this is a team that has big leads a lot. So it's not like they just wait around playing a game hoping to kick a field goal at the gun and win it. They have a tremendous winning percentage in games like the one Baltimore had seemingly in hand on Sunday night. So they do get out in front, and they do coast plenty. Miami and Jacksonville last year, the first two night games of the year, I mean, they
over by halftime,
they hammered those teams. So it doesn't exactly fit. Sunday it did, certainly to everyone's view. They really, there was a lot of just at the line of scrimmage passing and just nothing that really, you know, short of the first drive, which they moved right down the field and scored on a pass down the seam to Kincaid on, it was pretty conservative looking. But I don't think the blanket statement that this is McDermott's MO is accurate.
I wonder if there was a little bit of save our defense in this game. Like, it really, it took a while for it to be a game where the Bills just could not get stops. But that's what you'd want. You'd maybe break a tie trying to play a little bit more of a ball possession game if your defense is, you know, just wearing out. But I'm not sure that fits for Sunday.
Just buzzing through, I just clicked on one box score of a game from last year. Seattle, 31-3 is the score early in the fourth quarter. I mean, so it's not a blowout. But they were never challenged. Like, they touchdown, field goal, they just had the game in a headlock the whole game. So, I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's too, I think, definitively stated the way the caller put it, that's what they do and that's McDermott and all that. I don't think it holds.
You mentioned their winning percentage in games where they had maybe about the same win probability as the Ravens had. Bill Barnwell today wrote on that. Baltimore 69-8 in games with a 90% plus win probability in the fourth quarter. These are teams that are ahead a lot. The Ravens are right. Certainly that. 89.6% is much lower, or at least lower, than the other top teams and even some bad ones, as he wrote. The Bills in the same, you know, context, 90% plus win probability in the fourth quarter over the same, was it four years or so? More than that. 83-4. It's got to be more than 4 years. 83-4 The Chiefs, 90-3. The Packers, 69-0. The Packers have, how many years is this? I mean, this is a lot of games. The Packers have no losses in this same span when they've had a 90% win probability. Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe if you want to sort of dare them to get to 70-0 and they get to that 90%, if you're able to track that somewhere, you pull a Sammy P, who bet on the Bills Sunday night with like, a, what, 2 minutes left or something, where they were, was it 11-1, 15-1, some odds like that.
Yeah.
And it got even more, they became even more of an underdog than when he bet them, but he won handsomely. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Paul Hamilton at 6. The Sabres prospect season is almost here. We'll have that to talk about with Paul. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.